There was a woman not too long ago who drove under the influence and killed three people. Excuse me. And I think I'm going to start this over. That's ridiculous. Funny. Maybe I'll just edit that part out later. All right, there was a woman who drove under the influence not too long ago and killed three people. They posted it on YouTube, and I saw a lot of responses about lock her up, throw away the key. She had reported to a cellie, her roommate in jail, that she felt her life was over now. And that cellie went and told everyone what she said, and, you know, probably trying to make herself look like a saint and get some special privilege because she, you know, reported what she said. And whatever the reason was, it got out. And then people were on that YouTube thread were saying, you know, she's so selfish. She's only thinking of herself. And, you know, and pointing out the obvious about how she had impacted other people's lives and how tragic that is. And of course, all those things are legit. But it's like they're forgetting their own humanity, you know, and there's so many people that were just being creepy in their responses toward a fellow human being who had this tragedy happen in her life too. And yeah, she caused that pain to other people. But I wonder how many of the people that are ranting and raving and self-righteously pointing the finger and saying we should kill her, we should lock her up for life, and she should be miserable for the rest of her life. I hope that she doesn't have another happy day while she's alive. I just hope she just lives with that agony for the rest of her life. And this type of comment, and it just seems so like dark to me. Even, I don't know, I don't like the word evil per se, but it seemed even evil. People are forgetting who they are. And a lot of those people that are saying such things, it made me wonder, it's like, yeah, you've never driven under the influence of alcohol? Could this have happened to a lot of the people that are judging her right now? And, you know, sometimes if we fail each other by judging each other instead of trying to help each other, the problem remains. Nothing happens to make people better. And, you know, this human being that had this tragedy happen in her life, wouldn't it be normal for anyone to say, my life is over now? To have such grief, it doesn't mean they're being selfish. They're just, it's over, you know? Life as I knew it is done. It's just a simple acknowledgement of truth to me. And, it's not evidence that she only cares about herself and no one else. I think people are frequently opined to point out that you can't love someone unless you love yourself. So if she cares about herself, then, you know, in this situation, it's considered selfish. When that's the place that she has to continue to love so she can love others. I mean, that thread, I don't personally think it's true. You need to love yourself to love others. I think you can love others without loving yourself. I did it for years. I don't know. I was a freaking expert on self-hatred and trying to love others so I'd have some love in my life. Maybe, you know. But once I could forgive myself for some of the, you know, I mean, anyone that knows me knows I drove under the influence and killed someone. And I've used that story to actually help people rather than hurt people. And that's why we're here, is to take our free agency, our free will, and to help people with it. And we also have the freedom to not help people with it. We can hurt each other with it instead. And, you know, where people end up at the end of the day with that decision is is up to them, but in near-death experiences, when I'm seeing people report what they learned there when they've come back, is that it's all about love, you know, and I just keep going back to that place. You know, I was feeling real bad about myself the last couple of days, and maybe it was self-pity, maybe it was, you know, low self-esteem. I've dealt with that from time to time in my life. I suppose I was an expert at that too. But I had prayed about it, and I got a message that, you know, I should think about helping someone else. And I felt relieved in my spirit to some degree, you know, the Holy Spirit that lives in my chest, felt, you know, that was true. And then yesterday I did I was doing prayer and meditation in a sauna. And it's a little like a sweat, I suppose. It's without all the ceremony, but there's still some spiritual value in sweating out problems. And I was praying about that again, and I just felt all this pain, you know. And then when it came back to me, yeah, help someone else, then the spirit felt relieved. You know, I don't have to make my shortcomings my higher power. And, you know, I just hope people would look at the people that have made mistakes and look at them and try to help them so they can help someone else rather than hurting them and keeping them down. Build them up. And if people got to the root of the problem of drinking and driving as a symptom of a disease of alcoholism, and you might not like the word disease, call it something else if that's what makes you get through the day, you know, but maybe it's too scientific of a word for you. Maybe it's not even true. Maybe it's not a disease. Who cares? But in any case, you know, if we got to the bottom of it, if we healed the person's reason for drinking, then they wouldn't drink. And if they're not drinking, they can't drive under the influence. And if they're not driving under the influence, no one's dying because of that. They might die for a different reason, but not that one. And we could stop drunk driving in this country if we could activate people's conscience, but you can't do that while they're still drinking or drugging. Their conscience gets turned off. They lose their way. They forget who they are. They've got a different spirit leading their life. You know, and when people are drinking, you never know what they're going to do. So, you know, take what you like and leave the rest. As always with my videos, we can peel back the tragedies of our life and look for the higher messages and try to love one another. You know, I think the Sermon on the Mount really talks about this. Almost no one lives it. But, you know, be ye as your Father in heaven is perfect. To me, that's not a patriarchal statement. You know, like God is a patriarchal representation, and it's all about men being in the center of stuff. People can just get so distracted, you know. And I felt like I had to bring it up because this is where some people go. It's like, get over yourself. It's not about male or female, and that's what was taught in the scripture, you know. That's what Christ brought, is there's no attention in the household of Christ. There's no male or female. There's no Jew or Gentile. There's no master or slave. You know, all that stuff disappears, and we become one in Christ. And that's Christ consciousness, is where we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because all the laws and the prophets that have ever been written for that scripture or after hinge on that idea, and then loving each other as we love ourselves. And I don't think we love ourselves unless we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because that's where it really begins. That's where the true healing begins. When I was loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength in prison, that's when the Holy Spirit came into my life. And the Holy Spirit did not have to get on my visiting list, did not need the warden's approval to come and bless me with that, you know. And thank God for that. There's no prison wall so thick that God can't get through it. So I'm taking that to the bank. I got to go to some medical appointments today, but I wanted to get this video out there, and be well, pass on the good news, love one another, and you know, that's why we're here. You don't have to be a Christian to do it. An atheist can love just as good as a Christian or anyone else. Love is our sacred contract. Love is our duty. Let's bring it into focus and reality. Peace out.